Hello there, this is Mark Scheffler, Junior Stillo from Last House on the Left. Clearly I'm alive and well, and I really didn't blow my head off. And I'm listening to East Coast Horror Group, and I wish you guys would do the same, because they won't blow your head off either. Talk to you soon, and stay horrible.
Otherworldlyculture.com.
It's alive! It's alive!
Otherworldlyculture.com presents Dead On Movie Reviews.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
Salutations and mutilations. You're listening to Otherworldly Culture Presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight, we will present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on OtherworldlyCulture.com and on future select Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can join our live chat at that time by clicking on the live shows link at OtherworldlyCulture.com, and we now are live on Facebook, so maybe you'll actually watch. Don't know. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But a good spot for you to check it out with ease, it's Dead On Movie Reviews. I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, coming to you from the east coast of Lake Michigan. It's my honor to introduce the Faculty of Fear panel presenting tonight's lectures. Hey guys, and it is Halloween, so I decided with Joker in the theaters and all that, I thought I'd have Yvonne Craig join us here on the show. So, Yvonne, you have anything to say? Well, she'll join us later. Starting with Adam Holzapfel, he is our hardcore otherworldly culture columnist, and he won't brag, but he is, in fact, the Taco King. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Adam Holzapfel. Nothing, Adam?
Hey, Tim, thanks for having me.
Okay, and also with us tonight, it is the man they call the face of Jace, a sincere zombie apologist. He is Coach Michael Exler.
Hey,
hey, so glad that we can make some time here in October. It's one of my favorite times of year because Halloween is right around the corner. You guys have your Halloween decorations up?
I do.
You do?
I do not.
Now, Mike, how do you decorate for Halloween?
Usually with small children's insides.
Oh, that's sweet. That's nice.
Yeah, I really like to go the extra mile for the holidays, you know?
Yeah, it's good. I kind of suspected that's what you did, but I didn't want to assume anything, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, who should we start with tonight? Let's start with Adam. Adam, what have you been watching?
I watched the non-sponsored Shudder exclusive The Ranger.
Oh, hold on. I got to play our special opening.
Got to get the graphic.
There it is. There. Oh, boy. Yeah. I spent HBO. Minutes on this. There we go. All right. Now we're cooking, Adam. So tell us again, it's The Ranger. I don't know why I have it on the screen as happening in 201. I don't think there were films then. I believe they actually used 2018.
Just not this one. 2018, 80 minutes long. There's a lot of hype for it when it first hit. I kind of waited for that to die down to check it out. Wasn't a bad movie, wasn't a great movie. Relatively unknown cast. It revolves around a young girl who had an accident, and a ranger comforts her.
Hold on. A young girl has an accident? Is this about incontinence?
It is, in a way.
Okay.
But, yeah, anyway, you know, that's kind of how it starts out. Then you fast forward, like, 10, 15 years, and she's a punk rock chick now doing lines of coke. There's what feels like a 20-minute segment cutting back between a concert, people fucking in a bathroom, people doing lines of coke, back to the concert. Just, you know, it felt like that's kind of in there as a time filler. Anyway, the girl and her friends end up running from the cops who raid the club. Her boyfriend, Garth, stabs one of them to save her from getting arrested.
As you do.
As you do. That leads to her having flashbacks and them running to her family's cabin where the ranger who comforted her after her accident is still there. Turns into, you know, pretty predictable from there. People start dying. Couple minor twists and a couple of cameos by Larry Fessenden. Other than that, I'd say they probably cut about 15, 20 minutes out and made it a featurette. Think it would have been. Larry. What did you say, Mike?
Who's Larry?
He played her uncle. He's been in The Transfiguration and a few other genre films.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, I'd never heard of him. But we've established there's a lot of people I haven't heard of.
Yes. Like Patricia Tallman.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. So you know.
She's a lady. Oh, whoa, whoa. Sorry.
No, it's all good. No,
there was no reason to be sorry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, really? That's a highlight, and that was at the 14 minute on the day.
It was.
That'll never show up again on this show.
Yeah.
No way.
Mark that down for preservation.
Yeah, it's already marked.
I think Mike had also watched this movie over the weekend, so I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on it, Mike.
I did watch it. The one, I guess, drawback for me, I don't know, it felt very much like the entire film that they had to constantly remind you that they were punk rock kids.
Yes.
Just beat you over the head with
okay,
it.
Like, when is this set? Is this set in the 80s, or is this set in modern?
No, it's, modern times.
Okay. And
current. Yeah.
We've also established I am not the hippest guy in the world. So are there still punk rockers?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Oh. Sure. I don't see them.
Well, I also think they don't want to beat you over the head with the fact that they're punk rockers either. You know, some people do, but this film just really, I don't know, it kind of detracted from the film for me because it was just like, oh, hey, punk rock. More punk rock.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Like, why? What the fuck is the point?
I'm looking at the costumes, and I don't think I've seen somebody dress like this in a very long time. is, I guess, my point. It's like a retro punk look to me. Maybe that's what current punk rockers are wearing, but that's what it looks like to me.
So I'm not one, so I don't know the punk rock situation. I just know that this film likes to remind you of that fact a lot. Yeah. But I digress. I think the film looked very good. It looked like a big boy film.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask the question. Is it well lit?
Oh, yeah. 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 I'd say it is.
Yeah, I'd say it is.
Okay.
I'd say the acting was pretty good, too. The effects were good. For me, at times it felt slow. The pacing could have been better. And just, yeah, I think they could have cut 15, 20 minutes out of it and just made it a featurette instead of a full film.
I agree, because to get to like the surprise or whatever, the reveal, I felt that took a little too long.
Yeah.
Just a lot of filler that didn't need to be in there. Hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think for, you know, people that I don't really have never heard of, but the acting was pretty decent, you know, for a group of young actors. So I think they did the best they could with what they were given, for sure.
Well, is this an established director or is this like a new director? Do we know?
I believe it's a new director.
Well, hold on. I'm diving in, boys. I'm diving in. I am searching right now. Oh my God, my internet is so slow right now. It's like I'm broadcasting through the same stream. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's Jen Wexler. She had directed a movie in 2015, I believe. Let me double check.
And that's the same last name as me if you had a W in front of you of it.
Yes, you know what? It is.
I believe that's true. Let's see. Her filmography, she's primarily been a producer.
Producer, yeah.
She directed two shorts. Yeah.
This first full length, yeah.
Well, yeah, knowing this, it's her first full length film, I think she did a very good job with it.
Yeah, I agree.
She also produced ABCs of Death 2, Segment N. So that's pretty awesome right there.
I watched the ABCs of Death, but I didn't have it in me to ever watch the second one.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. See, I actually think I have not watched ABCs of Death yet. I think that'd be right up my in my wheelhouse because I often feel that horror movies are way the fuck too long.
Just think of it this way, Tim. It's like 2 hours of shorts. So it still feels way too long.
Oh, okay.
So long. And they're like 2 minutes long a piece.
Yeah.
See, I would not sit down and watch it in a sitting. I would probably watch it a little bit before going to work and then, you know.
Oh, God. I found with me, I was like, fuck, there's so many different styles. I hate this.
Oh,
like, okay. Pick the fucking style. God, because it would be so jarring. You go from this one letter, and then you go to another, and it's like a completely different director. So you could have like a semi-spooky one, and then you could have just like this fucking horrible, like, August Underground one. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Wow.
You go from like an Asian one to like a horror comedy to like,
hey Adam, we don't call them Asians on this show. Now, come on.
Oh my bad.
J-horror.
J-horror. But it could be Korean. Like it's, you know, could be K-horror.
Oh my goodness. We call them Orientals.
Oh Jesus, no.
No.
All right.
No, we do not
call them that here at the Worldly Culture.
We do not.
So you say. All right. So I think it's time for a grade. Yep. Give us a grade there, buddy.
I'd give it a C+. Didn't love it, didn't hate it.
Okay. Come on. I pressed a button, and there it goes. A C+. And Mike, since you have also seen this little slice of heaven, what would you give it?
I'm going to give it a C. It was a great first feature for the Jen Wexler. That's almost my last name.
Yeah.
But the fact that it could have been shorter or make a better story or, you know, edit that shit up a little bit. And the fact that it was just so punk rock. C.
So, Mike, you've brought up a number of times now that she could have had the same last name as you. So, I mean, let's be clear about this. Is there something you'd like to tell us?
No, she just almost has my last name, but has a W in front of it. Just like the judge in Ghostbusters 2. His name is Judge Something Wexler.
Oh, wow.
Like, why the fuck does there always got to be a W in front of it? Like, that's not my name. But, yeah.
All right. Hey, it's time for Mike to do his film. Mike, first of all, did you go to the movie house or you see the streaming or anything like that? You want to specify?
Stream.
Okay, hold on. There it is. Oh, jeez. Come on. Why does it always do this to me? There it goes. Okay, now streaming, everybody. As the graphic that you see on the screen clearly indicates.
Clearly.
I think so. Now streaming. Mike, what have you been watching?
I have been watching a lot of people's highly anticipated third film in the chapter of the Firefly Clan, Three from Hell, from director Rob Zombie. So, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions on this film. I know, Adam, you haven't seen it. Tim, have you seen it?
I have not, and you know that I have not enjoyed a lot of the Rob Zombie films. I think the first House of a Thousand Corpses I kind of enjoyed. And after that, I'm not as big of a fan of his stuff. I didn't like what he did with Halloween at all. And The Witches of Salem weren't really my thing. So I'm not going to be running to go see this, but I will probably see it at some point because of I know how much he had to alter this because of Sid's health as this movie was being made. And
right.
I'd be fascinated to see how he cobbled this thing together.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of the storytelling that's quite interesting. There's parts of the film that are sort of shown in a jumble. Like, you see a group of characters and then what they go through, and then you see like the beginning of the scene, and it's really weird. It's really disjointed, but then sort of how that arc completes, it sort of makes sense on how he filmed it. So he's definitely trying to play with some different storytelling, if you will. I should preface all of this by saying I really debated on reviewing the film for Dead On Movie Reviews because I don't think this is a horror film at all. I didn't think, Devil's Rejects was much of a horror film, but they had a lot of torture scenes and things like that that, okay, I can see.
Well, that makes it fun for the young kids. You know, that makes it fun for the kids. The torture scenes make it good for the kids, good family view.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, with this one, It's just simply not a horror film. It's more of a, I don't know. It's just more of the Devil's Rejects. My one big complaint from all that I've been reading of people complaining about the film is, if this film was going to be made, I don't know why he just didn't make it fucking 14 years ago or, you know, 13 years ago after Rejects. Because this film was missing Captain Spaulding in the worst fucking way. Not Sid, just the character Captain Spaulding.
Okay. Well, he's the lead character. Let's just roll it back. The lead character in Thousand Corpses and Devil's Reject is Spaulding. It isn't the other two. The other two are sidekicks.
Yeah, as soon as you mention those two movies to like non-horror film fans or something, it's, you know, the clown comes to mind.
Right.
He's also the face of all the merchandise too. Like, the only time you really see the other two on merchandise is if it's all three of them. So it's kind of like why I said this weekend, it's the equivalent of Halloween 3 in a way, where you don't have the Michael Myers character in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was going back to rewind a little bit was the film just fucking absolutely drags because Otis and Baby and the new character that I'll talk about in a minute, they just can't carry the scenes, man. Like, Rejects worked with Bill and Sherry in the hotel scene because you had some pretty high power actors in there with them. And that was really one of the only scenes that they were together by themselves, you know, throughout the film. So it wasn't, you weren't inundated with Baby and Otis at that point.
Right.
And after seeing this film, I also think Spaulding, as crazy as that fucking guy was, he ultimately had control over those two. Like, if shit got too fucking weird, Spaulding was able to rip that shit back, you know what I mean, and get them back focused on what they fucking needed to do or whatever.
Right.
So, that being said, like I said, if this film was ever going to be made, I do not know why you didn't make it when the three lead actors could be a part of the film. I don't understand it, and I never will understand it. Obviously, Sid's health was deteriorating, and they were only able to shoot with him for a day because that's all the money that Lionsgate, I guess, would give.
Which leads me to the question. If you're making a movie three from hell, all your advertising is that you got, you know, these three actors back together. And then you learn that his health is so bad that you can only shoot for a day. Why aren't you just calling it off? I don't get it. Right? You're advertising something other than what they made.
Right, but money, the wheels had already been set in motion. And they had already got the film in the can.
Oh, okay.
At that point, Sid's stuff was filmed after.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes some semblance of sense, but...
And like we were talking about before, Spaulding is the franchise.
Right.
So, I think he had to be in the film in some sort of, you know, capacity, and the capacity that he was in the film was not long at all. I think someone said it was like 3 minutes and some seconds. I think 3 minutes might be exaggerating a little bit because it was fucking quick. But as we know from doing the conventions, he was not in good shape, you know.
I'm actually surprised to hear he could do 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was a day of shooting, and from what Rob was saying in that public statement or whatever, like, he was, it took everything he had, Sid, to do it. So he definitely could not have filmed a film. But again, that goes back to, why didn't you do this movie 13 fucking years ago? You know, I don't know if he just wanted to get away from the Firefly clan or whatever. Or does that mean now he's going back to the well? Who knows?
What is anybody one of the things that I had heard some people say is, well, people really wanted this now. And I'm like, if anything, I believe the interest in this film has gone down dramatically since Devil's Rejects came out. I think right when it came out and like the 5 years following, I think there was a lot of clamor for let's go back. And I think as time went on, people were like, well, okay. You know.
Well,
that was it.
Bill and Sid would tell everybody if they asked, you know, would there be a sequel to the Devil's Rejects? They would say no, because we're fucking dead.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I think it was wasted not having, you know, the three that were left from the Firefly clan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Richard Brake was added as the half brother of Otis. He comes about the first act of the film. He shows up and plays a significant role, and then it becomes the three of them. Going through that film, I think if you substitute him for Spalding, I think you have something. I honestly kept just looking at that, looking at his character, if that was Spalding. I think something could have been there, but that guy just couldn't. He didn't have the chemistry. And we didn't know anything about him. I mean, it was like a square peg in a round hole at times, if that makes any sense.
Well, and you can't make him just like Spalding, because then it's like, oh, he's a ripoff, right? Everybody would have attacked that.
That's completely true. So he was nothing like Spalding at all. They didn't even try to do that. But I just think that the three of them, it just wasn't jiving like the other three would. I just felt that this was each of them doing their own little things.
Well,
you know what I
mean? I'm interested because you're a bigger fan of these movies than I am, clearly. But House of a Thousand Corpses, I didn't really feel like that movie was even the three of them. I think that kind of developed in Devil's Rejects. House of a Thousand Corpses was something else, you know.
Oh, yeah, because the only screen time that Bill and Sid shared was at the very end in the car. They didn't work with each other at all in that film.
Yeah.
So another naysay I will about the film is we completely and totally understand that you are enamored with the 70s and the grindhouse style film, whatever you want to call it. Branch the fuck out, please, because it's getting tired, man. For me, it's tired. I mean, there were many aspects of this film that were almost the fucking same as the Devil's Rejects.
Oh, boy.
It was, it just felt like, well, they love the Devil's Rejects so much, let's just give them some more and not really think, let's just, same type of situations.
From what you're saying, I'm betting that's how they got the money for it, though.
Oh, yeah.
It is, hey, more of this, we can sell this.
Right.
Now, I didn't check. This did have a theatrical release, right? Did it?
It was just in the Fathom events or whatever.
Did it make its money back and everything? Or I would think curiosity alone would have got them.
Oh, I'm sure they did fine. I'm sure there was no loss of revenue.
I'm on
this film. So,
well, it's a money grab. I'd like to think that they actually got their money grab. Let's see. Mm-hmm. It had a $2.1 million take. Listen to this. $2.1 million domestic, and the foreign take was $65,000. What are they counting, like, Netflix views overseas, or what? It does not say how much the movie was made for, but I would think it'd be more than $2 million that they'd make it for. Because Rob Zombie don't come cheap.
The thing is, there's not a lot of money in this film.
Okay.
I don't see a lot of production costs going to it. It was essentially those three and then the other guy that's in all of Rob's movies. He was in 31. Jeff Daniel Phillips.
Okay.
It was essentially those four and a bunch of people that you have never heard of in your life. There wasn't a ton of gore, to be 100% honest.
So it's more of a crime movie than a horror movie then, hey?
Yeah.
I
just don't categorize this as a horror film. I could for Rejects. Now, Corpses was a horror film. It was like the quintessential horror film. It was long in the tooth. It was 2 hours. Like an hour and 55 minutes or something thereabouts. I just wish it was done 13 years ago with the three that they set up.
With the right cast, yeah.
Yep.
All right, is it time? Great time?
Yeah,
all
let's right. just do the great.
Here we go. Grade it on up.
I mean, Corpses is an A+. Rejects is an A. This, for the potential that it had to what we saw, I sadly have to give it a C.
Wow. I expected the nostalgia alone to do better for you. Oh.
No, man.
I went
into this open-minded and realist. I wasn't going to let my like of Rob Zombie affect this. And it's just, all the more I thought of it after I watched it, I think the mark was missed.
That's a shame. That is a shame. All right. Well, I have a movie that has been sitting around my house forever. And it is called Living Among Us.
Is this a vampire?
It's a vampire movie. Okay. I've debated how I'm going to introduce this thing. Well, we all know the movie, the TV show True Blood, right? I think a lot of people forget the initial setup of True Blood is that we discover that vampires really are with us, and they are now drinking a synthetic blood, and they're supposedly no threat to us, right? That's the initial setup of True Blood. This movie...
Yeah, they're drinking.
Okay. But, you know, that's the idea, is vampires basically have been outed, right? In this movie, vampires have been discovered because a news reporter who's played by Thomas Ian Nicholas, who we've seen at some at some conventions. He was in Angels in the Outfield and American Pie, I think, and a couple things. He discovered some discrepancies at a blood bank and basically, oh, look, there's actual vampires and they're behind all this. And the story that the vampires came out with is, hey, everybody is a volunteer to give this blood. They're helping us, blah, blah, blah. Okay. To establish that beginning, I don't know if I can even emphasize this enough. It is the most unprofessional beginning to a film with, like, actual actors that people have heard of before I have ever seen. They must have went to the local high school and said, hey, you guys in the video club, get out your green screen. We're going to take a bunch of the drama knobs. We're going to put them in the suit that they go to church in. And they're going to read looking directly into the camera as if they're news reporters, right? These kids, first of all, they were all super freaking young, but they could barely read the copy. And I just kept sitting there thinking, my God, A, why didn't you just go to the local news organization, you know, in Podunk, Indiana, and just grab an actual reporter and say, hey, you want to make money for this afternoon? Just read this stuff like you're on actual news. You could have found plenty of them that would have done it for almost nothing. But no, they found these kids. And then the green screen effect. I have these newsroom effects. I got them. They're free on YouTube. You know, the backgrounds where they have different little TVs and stuff going across the back like you're in the middle of some big newsroom. It's that cheap-ass crap. And I'm like, what the hell? And then they cut, smash cut, to William Sadler being interviewed. Now, William Sadler was freaking deaf in Bill and Ted Bogus Journey. He was the main bad guy in Die Hard 2. He's an actual actor. Like, people know who the fuck he is. And they smash cut to him. I'm like, how the hell did he show up? Then you also meet John Hurd in his last movie he ever made is the lead vampire of this family that you meet. Now, for those of you that don't remember, John Hurd is the dad that leaves behind Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. I mean, he is a known guy. Andrew Keegan is in this film, who is in 10 Things I Hate About You, but is probably best known for being a cult leader for, what was the name of that thing? Total Circle or something? Do you know Andrew Keegan? Have you heard this story?
No.
No, okay.
Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember hearing that story.
Yeah, Full Circle. He was like the romantic lead. Well, he was the other guy to Heath Ledger in 10 Things I Hate About You. Okay, he was like the other guy. So anyway, okay. So I'm watching this thing, and the main setup is that this Thomas Ian Nicholas guy who broke the story, he is going to stay for, and they don't even specify, is it a week, 2 weeks, two nights? What are they going to do? But they're going to stay with a vampire family, and they're going to do reports, okay? And it's going to be this documentary, which, first of all, they can't really decide what they're doing because they work for a news organization, and they're going to do this, but they keep calling it a documentary, and I'm like, is it a documentary, or are you doing a news story? What are you doing? But they kept calling it a documentary. And the balance of the film, when it isn't these cuts of the news reports, the balance of the film is, da-da-da-da, found footage. And I'm like, oh, great. So Thomas Ian Nicholas, his performance pretty much is yelling at the cameraman and telling him he's not doing things right. That's basically what he does to show that this is live and found footage. About every 10 seconds, his camera has a digital glitch. You know, that they put this filter on where you go, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, they're working for an actual TV station, but they apparently have no operating cameras. And then, here's the best part. He also brought along an old Super 8 camera. Like, you know, not the real old Super 8s, but like the high 8 ones of the 80s. It's a tape one. And they're like, well, I brought this along because it has night vision. That might come in handy, all these vampires. Okay. But when they show the footage from that, it's got the same damn digital glitch as if, you know, like you get on a phone every so often. I'm like, that isn't even the right glitch to put on there. It should look more VHS-y if you're going to put a glitch. It just didn't make any friggin' sense. But okay, that's what they did. So John Hurt is kind of the patriarch. He has a wife who seems to be the most kind of put together of this Adams family that they move in with. There's like the weird vampire who seems comatose and he's always wearing a hoodie and he like seems ready to be violent at any moment. And then of course you have Andrew Keegan and he plays kind of this vampire that wants to be famous and he sees this documentary as his big chance to become famous. And he's really pleased that vamps have been, you know, outed so that he can be a celebrity now. Now, these are all actual actors. Almost all of them. This was not like a first film. They were all. And John Hurt is a major actor. Sadler is a major actor. John Hurt is actually an A-list actor at his peak of his career. Sadler's probably a B. And Keegan was an A actor for a minute there when he was very young. So, I mean, these are actual actors. And sitting there, I'm watching, and the acting was so goddamn stilted and awkward, I almost had to leave the room. I didn't understand. And I'm thinking, you know, they might be trying to do something to say, oh, well, I don't know how to act in front of a camera or something. But it came off so wrong. I'm like, I suspect that the director might be blind and deaf. I don't know this, but I think he might have a serious physical ailment that he could not tell how bad the acting was. It was unconscionably bad. And again, every time if they don't know what to say, Thomas Ian Church would look right in the camera and say, "Hey, you dummy, we need the other microphone. He's just like bossing them around the whole time, because I think that's his whole character. He's bossy. It's weird that happened. So anyway, they're with his family, and then William Sadler, who is supposedly like the regional chief, he shows up at the house to do an interview as well. And that's where you find out that William Sadler knows that this is the exact reporter that kind of outed them. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is all a big setup. Now, here's the thing. There's a couple sequences where the Andrew Keegan character, the guy that wants to be a celebrity, he's like, hey, I'm going to show you something cool. And he does stuff like puts his hand in the sunlight and it starts on fire. And then at one point, he and the guy that has the hoodie on, they're like, we're going to go kill somebody. Come on. And they bring along the group. Now, they don't tell him that they're going to kill somebody at the time. And they're like, oh, we're going to have some fun. And they go and they break into a house and they kill people. The sound effects are comical. Like, they do stuff like they bite into people, and the sound effect is like an apple, you know, like that type of thing. And it's like, what? And then at one point, okay, spoiler alert, at one point, he rips two arms off of one of the guys, and he says, oops, I forgot to make a wish. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is comic violence that's going on, but here's the problem. It wasn't funny at all. It just kind of sat there flat. So, okay, movie continues. The last 20 minutes of the movie actually have some tension. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, holy shit, are they going to redeem this Steven turd? Because I always think of the movie, and I don't know the name of it. It was made by one of our convention people that we hang out with. It's where they follow a serial killer, and the whole thing is interviewing this serial killer, and nothing much happens in the movie, and then, like, in the last 10 minutes, they showed a serial killer.
Is it Jason Hoover's I Am No One?
That's the one. I Am No One. And that movie, I'm always like, man, nothing happens in that last 10 minutes, just punches you right in the stomach. It's really good. For those of you that haven't seen it, sit through the beginning because it really pays off nice. And I thought, yeah. Holy shit, this movie might pay off. It could happen. And it started getting... Okay, thanks. It started getting better and better, and I'm like, oh, they're getting some actual tension. You're kind of fearful for the characters. We might go somewhere, and just when you're thinking, okay, they're going somewhere, they're building something, end of movie, and they go back to these horrible news clip things, and I'm like, oh my God, you just undid everything that you had. There was some actual tension. You could have left it at kind of this creepy note. You could have done some things, but they made kind of a ha-ha ending to the thing. And then they tacked on the news reports, and I was just in utter and complete pain. Didn't know what to do with myself. It was... it was disheartening. It was disheartening because I think they got a talented cast together. It, with the exception of these digital glitches, the main heart of the movie was put together fairly decent for found footage. But that opening and end with the news clips, I mean, and the best part about it is those were almost completely unnecessary. They were, because most of the information that was in there, you could have gotten other ways. So I don't know if they owed something to the high school video department. Maybe that's where they got all their equipment. I don't know. But it was pretty, pretty bad. So I'm going to go ahead and grade this thing. I'm sure you guys are going to run right out and see this turd pile.
You've talked it up so much.
Oh, I'm on my way.
I think so. This would be getting a D from me. And the only reason it's not getting an F is, like I said, there's this little period in the movie where you're almost like, holy shit, they're going to pull it off. This movie is actually not going to be this gigantic turd pile. It's going to pull itself out, and it's going to be okay. And, it never quite pulls it off completely. And that's the movie, Living Among Us. It's available a bunch of places. Don't even look for it. Don't. Bad news. Don't go. Don't watch it. If somebody says, "Hey, let's watch the last movie of John Hurd," say, "Uh-uh, you're trying to fool me. I'm not gonna watch that." Somebody says, "Hey, let's watch ex-cult leader Andrew Keegan." Do a movie after he gave up Full Circle. his cult saying, I've been told. Let's see the latest from the guy from Angels in the Outfield. No. And I, you know what's bad is I've met this Thomas Ian Nicholas, and I did an interview with him on that other show we had. He was one of the nicest guys I ever talked to. I mean, he was one of the few celebrities where I didn't want to gag afterwards. And his performance is marginal, but he wasn't getting any direction. You could tell nobody was getting any direction whatsoever. And I don't like ripping in the flicks of nice people, but damn, this thing was terrible. So don't see it. No need
don't
to
do it.
Ever see it. Walk away and just don't. All right, that's it. That's it for tonight's reviews. Now, we're supposed to... Are we doing a show on the 29th? Are you guys really going to make it? Or are we all busy with Halloween stuff?
Halloween?
Okay, so watch your schedules, and you'll know when the next show is. It's going to be a little while for me. I have that other show. Where is it? Well, here. Box Office Biggies that I do. We're going to take a little bit of a break while I figure out some things for that show. So we're going to have a little bit of a hiatus, and I think we have like one show in November or one show in December or something like that. And then we're going to figure out the 2020 schedule. In the meantime, we do have a couple episodes of Box Office Biggies out there. We have the last Dead On movie reviews. I did an Amazon Prime picks for the month. Andrew has been keeping on top of Andrew. Good God. Adam has been keeping it on top of the AEW news and giving us all of that. And we got a couple other articles out there as well. A whole lot going on the otherworldlyculture.com website. Is there anything you guys want to add as
well?
Go see the Joker. Well, yeah, you've been pushing that thing. Are you getting as much money from them as you are from Shudder?
Double.
It's awesome. All right. Okay. I think that's all we got. I think that's it. All right. Want to thank you all for tuning in. Remember to keep in touch through otherworldlyculture.com. You can also check us out on Twitter at Radio Other. Radio Other on Twitter. So until next time, hang in there, pumpkin, until our next show. And remember, as John Carpenter once said, horror is a reaction, not a genre.
Oh, Johnny boy.
Spooky. Better than Butterstool.
This is Yippee Eames, and you're listening to the East Coast Horror Group. Enjoy!
This is Sammy Sneed, and you're listening to the East Coast Horror Group.
That's all so good.